Proverbs chapter number 3, let's begin reading in verse number 5. Solomon writes, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." In his poem, The Road Not Taken, the poet Robert Frost described standing at a place in the woods before two pathways that he could take. In the poem, he describes looking down the pathways and what he sees, and he ponders which road that he's going to go down. In the last stanza of his poem, he says this, "Two roads diverged in a wood, and I took the one less traveled by, and that made all the difference." Our life is very much like this poem that Robert Frost writes. You and I have choices in life, and we have choices of which pathway we're going to go down. And whichever pathway we decide to go down has as much emphasis on the outcome of our life as anything else that we can do. As Robert Frost said, it makes all the difference. In Matthew 7, Jesus writes and talks about two different pathways. He talks about a broad way that leads to destruction. And he says that there are many that travel down that broad way. But then he describes a narrow way that leads to life. You and I have to decide which pathway we're going to travel down in this life. Sometimes it seems as though we switch pathways. We start down one pathway and realize, no, this isn't right, and we have to change, and that's part of it. But regardless, we need to make a conscious decision and think about the pathway of our life, because the choices and decisions we make each and every day are the determining factor on which direction you're headed. And as we look here in Proverbs chapter 3, Solomon is giving instruction to his son about the pathway that he is to go down. And he tells us how not only to get on, but to stay on God's guided pathway for our life. And this morning, I want to share four simple truths that we see in these verses that I believe will help you and I as we think about the pathway of our life. If you're taking notes, the first thing I want you to make note of this morning is this. Let's talk for a moment about our confidence. Our confidence. The first thing Solomon mentions here in verse 5 deals with our confidence. He says plainly, trust in the Lord. Now, as we go through these different things, it's important for us to know that we see a progression here. And what I mean by that is the things that we see early on in verse 5 build upon other things we see later on in this verse and then later on in verse 6. So you cannot, if you don't do first the first thing, then you cannot move on to the second thing. It's a progression. And the first thing he mentions here is that we need to have confidence in the Lord. But note two things about this confidence. Notice, first of all, he mentions the command to trust. The first thing we see is the command to trust. Solomon isn't just suggesting that we trust in the Lord. He's commanding. He gives it as something that we must do to his son. He says, trust in the Lord. He's not saying with the tone, well, son, it might be a good thing if you considered trusting in the Lord. He says, no, son, trust in the Lord. Trust in him. We need to understand that God commands us to trust. You say, Pastor, what does it mean to trust in the Lord? The Hebrew word that trust is translated from is the word batak, and it literally means to have confidence, to be secure, but also to be carefree. Now think about that for a moment. He is literally saying, son, I want you to be secure in the Lord. I want you to have confidence in the Lord. I want you to be carefree in the Lord. Solomon is trying to tell us that we need to have such confidence in God that it frees us from the worries and the fears that plague so many of us in our life. Real trust, don't miss this, real trust relieves pressure in your life. Let me illustrate it to you this way. Many of you have children, many of you have grandchildren. If you were to take that child to an event, a public event, and they came to you and they said, we have childcare at this event. And you went and you left that child, no matter what age, whether it's a 6, 8 months old, whether it's 2 years old, whatever it may be, you left that child in the care of those people that you really don't know that well, even though it's a carefree facility and maybe they've all certified in CPR and infant CPR and maybe they've all had background checks. They give you certain things that bring a little bit of comfort, but there is still an element in your mind that you're not completely at rest because you don't fully know these people, and because you don't fully know them, you don't fully trust them. But wait a minute. What if you take that same baby, that same child, and you hand it into the arms of your mother or your father? What can you do? When you drive away, there's a trust there. There's pressure relief there. You're not concerned. You're not worried about it. Why? Because you fully trust them. What Solomon is saying is this. We need to have such confidence in God that we fully trust Him with the things that are going on in our lives. We fully trust Him with what's going on in our children's lives that we don't understand and we don't know how to solve. We fully trust Him with things that are going on in our workplace. We fully trust Him with health concerns that we have. We fully trust Him to the extent that it relieves that pressure on us and it removes those fears. Ultimately, not only is it about our burdens as people, we need to trust in the Lord as our Savior. If you've never trusted Jesus Christ as Savior, that's a decision you don't need to leave this place with today without making and knowing for certain that you have a home in heaven. But if you have trusted Him as a believer, you need to take what Solomon says and apply it daily to your life and have confidence in Him because He's commanding us to trust Him. But not only is He commanding to trust Him, notice the second thing I want you to see, the commitment to trust. The second thing when I read this verse that jumps out at me that Solomon is telling his son is the commitment to our trust. Notice what he says in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. All means what, church? All. All means what? All. All means all. So what he's saying here is this. We need to trust the Lord. If I were to ask you this morning, do you trust the Lord? Almost every hand would go up and say, yes, I trust the Lord. But the question is not, do we trust Him? The question is, to what extent do you trust Him? To what extent do you trust Him? We're supposed to trust Him with all of our heart. Many of us trust God with some things, but we don't trust God with all things. If we really have confidence in God that we need to have, then we will trust Him. We should completely trust God. There shouldn't be one area in your life that you say, God, you're not trustworthy in this. God, I want to trust You with my job, but Lord, I can't trust You with that. Lord, I want to trust You with my finances, but I can't trust You with that. Lord, I want to trust You with my health, but I can't trust You with that. Lord, I want to trust You with my children and my grandchildren and their future and all that's going on, but God, I can't trust You with that. He says, no. We need to have such confidence in God that there is no one that we have more confidence in than Him. And we need to trust Him and commit with all of our heart to trust Him with those things. And if we do, it will relieve pressure and promote that carefree spirit to have the joy of Christ. So the first thing he mentions as we think about the pathway of our life, he says you need to start by having confidence in God. But then he moves on secondly. Not only does he mention our confidence, but secondly, he talks about our dependence. Secondly, he talks about our dependence. Notice again in verse 5, he says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding. Notice the first word as we see this punctuation break in this verse. The first half of the verse says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. But then we go to the second half of the verse, and the very first word is the little word and. You know what that tells me? That tells me that what he's getting ready to tell us is an extension of what he just told us. So what he's saying is he says, first we have to trust in the Lord with all of our heart. But in addition to that, we also need to learn and understand that we need to lean not on our own understanding. And when we talk about that, he's talking about our dependence. Having confidence in God is learning to depend on God. But one of the greatest struggles every one of us in this room deals with is taking situations in our life and trying to lean on or depend on ourselves and our own abilities to solve those problems. Every one of us. When we face a crisis, when we have an issue, when we have a problem, our first reaction is, all right, we need to get our heads together. We just need to figure this thing out. We need to start running some numbers and figure out how we can solve this problem. We need to solve it. We make ourselves first and foremost in solving the problem. instead of making him first and foremost and seeking his guidance and seeking his counsel. God tells us no. So much of the time, the decisions that we're making in this life, even as Bible-believing Christians, as people that go to church every Sunday, as people that go to a Sunday school class, people that sing in a choir, people that serve, people that come to Bible study, even good people like that, so many of the decisions that we make on a daily basis are made without ever even thinking about uttering one word of prayer to God and trying to get His counsel on whether or not this is what we should or shouldn't do, or God, how should I handle this? You see, what that means is that you and I are spending most of our time leaning on our own understanding and our own intelligence and not on what God has to say. See, that's what understanding means. The word understanding literally means our intellect or our intelligence. So what he's saying is, he says, look, don't lean on, don't rest on your own intelligence, your own understanding to live this life, but rather lean on me. Lean on the Word of God. And what happens is this. If I'm living my life and I've got a crisis, whether it's a family crisis, whether it's a health crisis, whether it's a crisis with finances, whatever my crisis may be, if I lean on my own understanding, sometimes I can work it out. Okay, sometimes I can somehow resolve that issue, but look what happens. When I do that, I put my life on a pathway that I have chosen, not necessarily the pathway that God has chosen for me. You understand? And so here's what happens. The long-term effect is if I keep making decision after decision after decision based on my own intellect and what I think should happen, then it sends me down a pathway that eventually can take me far away from the pathway that God had for my life. You and I need to understand that Solomon is telling us not only to have confidence in God, but to truly have confidence in God means that we live a life leaning on God and depending on Him. Who you have confidence in is displayed by who you depend on. And our actions show that many of us trust in ourselves more than we trust in the Lord. You say, well, Pastor, how do I depend on God? How do I do that? I want to do that. How do I do that? Well, that brings us to our third thing, and that speaks of our reliance. The third thing Solomon talks about here is our reliance. We move on to verse number 6. He says, in all thy ways, acknowledge Him. We show our dependence on God and our confidence by God, or our confidence in God, by relying on God and acknowledging Him. And acknowledging Him in all the decisions of our life. Well, let's talk a little bit more about that and break that down, about our reliance. Let's look first of all at the extent of our reliance. The extent of our reliance. Notice what he says in verse 6. He says, in all thy ways. Now, I want to see how much you learn. We talked about this just a minute ago. All means what, church? Very good. And what he's saying here is he says, in all thy ways. That means every way. That means not just the big ways. That not just mean just little ways. It means in all thy ways, in every single way of your life, we are to rely on Him. That expression, all thy ways, is actually one word in Hebrew. It's the Hebrew word derech, and it means our direction, our habits, or our journey. So literally what Solomon is telling his son and what he's telling us is this. In all thy habits, in all thy journey, in all thy directions, acknowledge God. That means in everything we're to acknowledge Him. You say, well, Pastor, what does acknowledge Him mean? It comes from the Hebrew word yada, and it means to know or to be instructed by. So what he's saying is he says, in every little decision that you have in life, on your journey, on your direction, you're to seek God's instruction. We're to seek how God would have us to handle that. It doesn't just mean in the big things. It doesn't mean in the small things. It means in everything. You see, our problem is this. We place too much confidence in this flesh. What did the Apostle Paul say? He said, I have no confidence in this flesh. He said, I have no confidence in the fact that in and of myself, separate from God, that I can make the right decisions. But we struggle with that. All of us struggle with that. And we think we know what should happen. We think we know how things should take place. And so what we do is when we're facing little bitty decisions every single day, we look at it and say, I ain't gonna pray about that. God don't care about that. Why should I pray about that? God's not concerned with that. Man, I can handle that. God's not concerned with these little things that's going on. Now, if I get cancer, or if I get put in a hospital, or I'm going to face some surgery, now I might pray about that, but all this other little stuff, God's not concerned about that. But wait a minute. Does the Bible not tell us that He knows the hairs on our head? You know, that's a pretty specific detail. I believe that that tells me that God is concerned with the little bitty things in my life, because you know what? Sometimes we lose hairs. Some of you have lost a lot of hairs. I'm not going any further with that. But the reality is, you think about this, every time one of those hairs pops out, or every time you lose one of those hairs, God's going to have to recount, or He's not going to have an accurate understanding of how many hairs are on your head. My point is this, quit living your life thinking that the only things you need to pray about and depend on God about are the big things. You need Him every single moment of every single day, and so do I. We need God's guidance to guide us. If we don't, we're going to end up taking ourselves and our family down a pathway of our own making, and it's not going to be the pathway that God has for us. It's not going to be the blessed pathway. You say, well, Pastor, if God wants me to do all that, how do I do that? How do I acknowledge Him? Well, let's talk secondly about the expression of our reliance. How do we express this reliance? How do I acknowledge God? You say, I agree I need to do that, but how do I do it? Well, I believe there's three ways that we can express or show or acknowledge the Lord in our life. The first one is this. We share our ways. We share our ways. Now remember, our ways talks about our journey, our habits, our pathway. Something that so many people fail to do, so many people fail to enjoy the relationship that Jesus Christ desires to have with them. As the group was singing this morning, in one of their songs, they were talking about that Jesus is my dearest friend. But sadly, for many people, even Christians, the relationship that they have with God wouldn't even be a very close acquaintance based on the amount of time that they spend with Him and talk with Him. If you've got a best friend, if you've got a dear friend, you talk to him all the time, sometimes multiple times a day. And what the Bible teaches us about the Lord is that He wants us to have that kind of relationship with Him. He wants us to be in continual conversation with Him. That's what praying without ceasing means. It means that there's an ongoing conversation. It's not, I started praying here, God answered what I wanted. When I have another big need, God, I'll come talk to you then. No, it's a continual conversation. And you and I, if we're going to acknowledge Him in all our ways, we need to have a continual conversation with Him. We need to share our fears. We need to share our concerns. We need to share the things that we're burdened about, the things that keep us up late at night, things that maybe you wouldn't share with anybody else. You might not share with your spouse. You might not share with your children. You might not share with your grandparents. You might not share with anybody. But you can share it with Him, and you need to talk with Him openly. One of my favorite prayer verses in all of Scripture is Psalm 62:8, where He talks about trusting in the Lord and pouring out your heart before Him. We need to share our ways and continually talk to the Lord. You're in your workplace. You're sitting in your office tomorrow morning and something comes down the pike and it bothers you. It upsets you and you think, man, this is going to be bad. I'm not saying that you shut the door, turn the lights off and spread eagle on the floor and start crying out to God, oh God, I don't know what to do about this. You probably get fired and blame me because I told you to do it. Preacher, I shared my ways and I lost my job. No, we don't want that. No, I'm not saying that. All right? What I'm saying is this, if you're in that continual conversation with God, when that comes down the pike on your desk, you can say even from your heart, you don't even have to utter the words, Lord, I don't know what to do with this. God, this doesn't seem like it makes sense to me. God, help me. Give me guidance and direction. Help me to handle this the way you would handle this. God, help me to do it the way you want me to do it. See, you've acknowledged Him. You've shared your ways with Him. We acknowledge Him by doing that, but then there's a second thing. The second thing is we search His Word. We search His Word. There's a growing problem in our country, and that is that the amount of people who are biblically illiterate is growing by the masses. I mean, they don't even know the basic stories of Scripture. And sadly, amongst so many people who attend church, they don't even know the scriptures any longer. We don't teach our kids in Sunday school how to memorize scripture any longer. We need to do that, because that's how God speaks to us. Even people who pray, and people will say sometimes, man, I prayed and prayed and prayed and God's never answered my prayer. But wait a minute. Maybe you're making prayer a one-sided conversation. Maybe you're never giving God an opportunity to speak to you. Let me illustrate it to you this way. Let's say that I've got something coming up and I don't know how to handle it. I remember when I was pastoring in Georgia, we had a family and they were going through some difficult things, and I honestly just had no idea what to do. And I can remember I'd prayed and prayed and prayed, and I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know how to handle this situation. And I always make the choice to pray before I do my devotions. I spend that time laying out all the things that I've got on my heart before the Lord, and then I read. And I can't tell you how many times as I've read in those devotions that God uses a situation in a passage that I'm reading to speak to my heart and give me that guidance as to what I need to do. But you see, if all we're doing is praying, but we're never spending time in God's Word, we never give Him the opportunity to speak back to us and to give us that guidance. You say, how do I acknowledge Him in all my ways? First, share your ways with Him. But secondly, search His Word. But then there's a third and simple thing, and that is to seek His will. Seek His will. That's something we don't hear very much in churches today. Man, when I was growing up, you heard it all the time. Are you in God's will? Are you following God's will for your life? Most people today don't even consider taking into consideration at all God's will. They don't care about God's will. All they care about is their own will. This is what I want to do, and I don't care what God wants me to do. I'm not even going to ask Him. I'm not going to pray about it. I'm not going to seek Him about it. I'm just going to do whatever it is I want to do, because that's all I care about. But hey, wait a minute. That's not the heart of a child of God. That's not a heart of somebody who's in fellowship with God. That's not the heart of somebody who's going to be going down the blessed pathway for their life. You and I, we acknowledge God by talking to Him, seeking His Word, but also by seeking His will and desiring to know, God, what do You want for my life? There are times that you may stand and have two good choices before you. I could either do this or I could do this, and neither one of them are sinful. Which one do you choose? If you're living a life surrendered to the Lord, if you've got confidence in Him, if you're not depending on yourself but you're relying on Him, you'll ask His desire and allow Him to lead you which way He would have you to go, because you want to be in the center of His will. When we acknowledge God and desire to know His will, and we seek His will, we'll surround ourselves with people and things that will draw us closer to the Lord and not further away. So we've seen our confidence, our dependence, our reliance. Notice the fourth and final thing, and that's our guidance. The first three things that we dealt with this morning are things that we do. This final thing is something that God promises to do. Notice what Solomon tells his son in these verses. He says, son, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. And then he gives him the promise. And He shall direct thy paths. He didn't say that He might direct thy paths. He didn't say it's a good chance He'll direct thy paths. He says, no. He says, if you place all your confidence in Him and you acknowledge Him in all your ways, then God promises that He will direct your path. He will help you. He will make sure that you are on the right path in your life. We have a promise from God that Solomon gives us, that God will help us navigate the rough waters, that He'll help us navigate these difficult paths that we have to choose. But beloved, we forsake that promise if we don't do these other things. You can't have and claim the promise of God guiding your pathway if you're not willing first to place confidence in Him. If you're not secondly willing to say, no, I'm not going to put my dependence on my understanding, but I'm going to lean on His understanding. And I'm also going to rely on Him, and I'm going to acknowledge Him in all my ways. If you're not willing to do those three things, then God doesn't promise to guide your path. You understand? It's a progression. One builds on the other. Now, if we have God's promise, to make certain that we're on the right path, and we forsake that promise, is that not on us? Is it not on us? How many times do you see people that find themselves in a bad spot, in a bad situation? And people are by nature about all the same. I'm one of them. We usually don't seek help until we're so far in it we can't figure out how to get ourselves out. And how many times do they come and sit, "I just don't know what to do. I don't know how God could let me get in it. I don't know how God could allow me." And I want to say, whoa, just a second, good neighbor. Let's not go blaming God for you going down the pathway that you didn't ask His counsel about, and you didn't seek His guidance about, and you didn't seek His direction about. You didn't care what He had to say. It ain't His fault that you went down the wrong pathway for your life. You understand? Is that not right? Some of y'all are looking at, "I can't believe He just said there. God don't care what..." That's the truth. That's the truth. We need to quit blaming God for all our mistakes. "I can't believe God would let that happen." He didn't want it to happen. He wanted you to be blessed. But you chose to make your own decisions, to lean on your own understanding, and do everything you wanted to do. You didn't give a flip about what He wanted you to do. And now you're in a situation you can't get out of, and you want to blame Him. Wait a minute. That's not right. And what Solomon is telling us is it don't have to be that way, good neighbor. You can be down that blessed pathway. If you'll start with Him, you can end with Him. So the question today is this: what is the pathway of your life? Where's your life headed on the pathway you're on? Is it God's pathway, or is it your pathway? Solomon tells us the blessed pathway begins with having confidence in God, depending on Him, relying on Him. And if we'll do that, he promises to guide us every step of the way. Let's bow our heads in prayer.